You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome in to another episode of On the Beat Live, perhaps the final episode of the 23-24 season. We know that the Olympic sports are still going on. We know that baseball is still going on. But for On the Beat, this is the ceremonial, perhaps last episode of the combined football-basketball season. So here we are to talk about the year that was, talk about Jeremiah's first year on the beat, Evan's first year working with Inside Carolina. Adam Smith will also be joining us later this evening to recap all things UNC and the season that was, both from a football and basketball perspective. Before we jump in to the recap of the past year, there has been a little bit of news this week, so we wanted to get the reaction from some of our beat writers here. Jeremiah, RJ Davis has elected to return to North Carolina. He's going to be playing a fifth season in Chapel Hill. When you heard that news this week and just all the reporting that you've done on RJ Davis over the season, what was your reaction to that news?
Yeah, well, certainly you have to give a big shout out to, obviously, Sherelle McMillan, who, for a long time was, piecing the, the pieces of the puzzle together and really kind of getting everything, laid out, man. So, we were, pretty much expecting it, man. But, from my perspective of having covered him this year, obviously going into the year, you knew that the COVID year was a possibility for, and this is for those keeping track at home. This year's senior class, as in the 4-year seniors this year, they're the last group that has that COVID year. So, essentially RJ Davis kind of getting that player option, so to speak, to come back for the NBA fans. But, for me, just watching the season that he had, the way he was able to really establish himself as, the best player in the ACC. I mean, the fact that he's returning for another year, and I think it's a big, obviously, a huge asset to retain if you're North Carolina, to say the least. You obviously do have, really your same guards coming back, plus Ian Jackson coming in there. So to have a guy as experienced as RJ, and also from a scoring standpoint, you lost a lot of scoring. Like, you lost Ingram, you lost Cormack, and you lost Armando. So those guys, with RJ being number one, those were your 2, 3, and 4 in some order. Those are your 2, 3, and 4 scorers. So to keep your number one scorer, is certainly a big deal. I am kind of interested, and they were talking about this on the podcast on the Coast to Coast Emergency Pod as well. Like, there are some ways, funny enough, that he can kind of get better as a scorer just based on the different types of defenses that he sees. Like, there are some of those kind of taller defenders, that, maybe he can find ways to, you know, counter those defenses, and even like someone like a Tyrese Proctor with the face guarding and all that. So there's even, you know, that underlying element too of like, what more does RJ kind of add to his game? Because you saw the year by year progression. So in year five, a guy that's old enough to be a pro, and you know, maybe if he was, you know, a few inches taller, maybe he would be, you know, a quote unquote better prospect in the eyes of some, you know, teams or whatever. But, you know, certainly a big get for UNC. The fact that it's their third year in a row having a homegrown fifth year senior, and then really their second year in a row having one that was, well, I guess RJ didn't start a ton his freshman year. He started some, but not as much. Like Armando was a straight up, he only came off the bench one time in his career. So RJ would have been in and out the first year, but basically, I mean, close enough. Like he was a rotational 5-year player. So, you know, the fact that they're getting that level of experience back and that caliber of a scorer back, you know, that puts them, you know, right back in the mix of where they just were. And, you know, not too much of a drop off for a team that really only lost one guy in the portal. They lost some seniors, but to only lose one guy in the portal and bring back your best player, I mean, that's like, you know, I don't know that this offseason could have really gone much better for them. And I know they're still pursuing guys, but I don't know how much better they could have did at this point of the offseason.
Absolutely. I like what EC Keller said. I wish they would keep allowing that extra COVID year. I think it provided some better basketball. You can definitely say across the full landscape of college basketball, there's been some really, you know, there's been some benefits to allowing players to come back for that fifth year. Some of the stars of college basketball have stuck around a little bit longer. Evan, what about for you when you think about what this RJ Davis commitment to come back another year means? What was your first impressions from that news?
I think my first impression was you're getting the preseason ACC player for next year back. He probably is going to be, if not the preseason national player of the year, he's going to be in contention with that. He and Hunter Dickinson are, you know, the two big All-Americans coming back. And I think it solidifies. I know there's still a lot of stuff that still has to go down with the portal with other teams across the country, but it'd be tough to find a better backcourt in the country than what UNC is going to be having back. Mm. When you consider Elliot Cadeau in his sophomore year, you got RJ Davis coming back. You've got Seth Trimble and his defensive versatility. And then you've got Ian Jackson, you know, a 5-star McDonald's All-American who can get hot in a hurry. They just have a really well-rounded backcourt. And I think it's going to be interesting and exciting to see how those four players kind of mesh and how the minutes are figured out. That's going to be something that Hubert Davis and the staff are going to have to figure out. And like Jeremiah said, I think there still is a step that RJ Davis, you know, even though he did average 21 points per game, there's another step he can take in his offensive development and kind of figuring out how to handle those lanky, defensive, versatile guys. And he struggled with Tyrese Proctor in the meetings against Duke. Ryland Griffin gave him a lot of trouble in that Alabama game, the last game of the season. So there are other steps that RJ can continue to take. And I just think, I mean, a lot of credit needs to be given to the staff of the ability to retain guys, especially in the portal era where across the country you see a lot of even top blue blood, blue chip programs losing multiple guys this offseason. You've only lost one player to the portal and, you know, he didn't really play that much. So, I mean, everyone likes to get the splashy transfer, you know, portal guy coming in or getting the big get out of the portal. But sometimes the best gets you get are the ones that you keep, the guys you retain. And that's what UNC did. You know, they got Seth Trimble to, you know, get out of the portal and they got RJ Davis to come back.
Yeah.
I do still think they're, you know, an addition or two away specifically in the front court from really, you know, talking about the potential to quote unquote run it back and even have more of a special season next year. But this was certainly a huge step in that direction.
Yeah, and I'm mindful as well as we bring in Adam Smith to the picture. Welcome, Adam. Good to see you.
Sorry about that, guys. A little wacky around here tonight.
It is all good. We were just talking about the news.
Hey, guys.
About RJ Davis coming back to UNC for a fifth season. I was going to make the point that I was reminded of a quote from Nikola Jokic that he gave this week, and I'm not going to get the exact quote right. So the spirit of the quote was about the run that his team, the Nuggets, have been on the last few years and the chemistry that has developed over the course of those seasons. And basketball is a game about chemistry, knowing your teammates, knowing what they like, they dislike. And I think that's going to be so big for UNC heading into the upcoming season. The chemistry that Elliott Cadeau and RJ Davis will have, the chemistry that RJ Davis now has with the rest of the roster around him, I think that's going to pay huge dividends for UNC, that compounding effect of chemistry, players playing together for years and years together. Is a real, you know, it stands out across the rest of the college basketball landscape. I saw a snapshot of Kentucky's roster, and it was a complete, you know, transplant, you know, team pulled together from different conferences and things like that, whereas UNC has that continuity, which is great to see. Adam, when you heard the news about RJ Davis, what stood out to you, or any reflections on the RJ Davis returning to Chapel Hill news before we go in to our quotes, moments, and anecdotes from the season that was?
Oh, man. I might need to find some quotes. well, of course, I was up at 3 a.m. refreshing Instagram, waiting for the RJ announcement, which wouldn't make any sense because I'm not on Instagram or Facebook, or I guess Twitter is the only thing. But I'm enjoying the comments over here already. Look at Martha Vetter. Martha, Evan Rogers is going to be continuing. We're bringing him back.
He might be making that announcement at 4 a.m. on his own personal Instagram page. So we'll see, Evan, if you're returning for another year or not. I know you've looked around in the portal a little bit. We'll see what happens.
I see George Jenkins. Ha ha, funny, funny. It's true about the age doubling. Very true. I mean, hey, what can you do? But yeah, you know, someone was explaining to me, well, you know, RJ was on the West Coast, so it was only midnight. I guess he's in LA training. Is that correct? Something like that. So anyway, still midnight. I mean, what are we doing here? And this thing, I mean, I feel like, was this even a secret at this point? I mean, Sherelle McMillan has been reporting for weeks. You know, I guess we sort of saw it inch toward becoming more and more of a reality with each Sherelle scoop that I was breathlessly clicking on. You know, every time you see one of those things drop, it's like you want to stop what you're doing and get in that thing. But I mean, you know, it's interesting thinking. I don't know if Jeremiah thinks about it this way, since we were both there for the game that UNC lost to Alabama in the Sweet 16. But you know, I was thinking about that image of Armando and RJ walking out of the arena, the crypt, as the Staples Center is now called. But you know, I remember thinking, like, damn, you know, it's obviously a strange time in college sports, but it's, you know, I was, you know, it had the feeling of the end of an era. You know, with those guys, Armando staying 5 years, and you didn't know if RJ would be back, but yeah, he's back now. I don't know how the heck you top. What do you do for an encore? ACC Player of the Year, First Team All American. You've seen the math that if he has the season, if he duplicates the season like he did this year, which, I mean, the guy, what did he average, 21 points? Yeah. You know, he could become UNC's all-time leading scorer passing Tyler Hansbrough, who obviously did it in 4 years. But, you know, I think you've got to be super pleased, obviously, if you're a UNC fan. I saw somebody, I'd have to scroll way back. Somebody had a great comment about it. Cliff Notes, Ross Rollins. Excellent job, Ross. Bravo. Yeah, I think, you know, I think as fantastic as it is, you know, to have RJ Davis back in the fold, I think Carolina fans are sort of waiting breathlessly for a five-man that UNC probably desperately needs if they want to be a championship contender. I think the Cade Tyson arrival through the portal is huge, obviously. I don't know if you guys have talked about that or not, but, you know, the portal is closed, but we'll see what pieces Hubert Davis puts together. Yeah, he met with how do you say his name? Adu Thierro, is that right? Someone help me.
Thierro.
What is it?
Thierro.
Thierro. Are you sure on that, Evan?
And then Cliff Amori.
Cliffy. The Cliff Notes. But, you know, like it seems like UNC is going to have to wait a while to hear from Adu. Hopefully he won't bid them adieu. Huh? There you go. Laugh track. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see these pieces of the puzzle. But RJ Davis obviously is massive. You have a fifth year guy who's the ACC player of the year and all American, rather than maybe running Ian Jackson out there or Seth Trimble out there. So yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. And the fact that it literally dropped overnight was a little hilarious. I mean, Jeremiah, God bless him. It's just, somebody needs to send him a fruit basket, because Jeremiah had the story pre-written to plug in. And he made the joke. I hope he doesn't mind me saying, he made the joke that he might delete Instagram for a week after waiting.
That wasn't a joke. That was not a joke. I might do that for real.
So everyone, send your NIL donations to Evan for another year with us, and Jeremiah for having to deal with the RJ soap opera.
I'll tell you, where is the respect for the print deadlines? You know, back in the day, the print deadline was at 10 p.m. and RJ just goes off at 3 a.m. Eastern with this big news. I'll do a quick rundown of the current UNC basketball roster, because it changes every time we gather for On the Beat Live. So currently, RJ Davis, Jalen Withers will be the elder statesman of the team. Jalen Washington, Seth Trimble, and Tyson, as we've already referenced on the show, the new addition via the portal. Sophomores, Elliot Cadeau, Zayden High, and then the three freshmen coming in. So that's the current state of the roster. I think when I look at the roster now, keep in mind, it's not finished. This is not a finished product. But I'm also wondering about the defensive capabilities of this roster, and more specifically on the wings. I'm just thinking about, how do you replace Harrison Ingram, his physicality, his defensive rebounding? He was so critical to this team in that way. And I haven't necessarily seen a replacement of his defensive rebounding prowess from that wing position yet this offseason. And then Cormac Ryan, you know, so much of the focus was on his offense all last season, you know, his shooting and his streaky shooting, but he really battled on the defensive end. And some of UNC's best games were the games that he was just scrapping and clawing defensively, you know, guarding some of the other team's best players. Both of those guys too, Harrison and Cormac, had good size to them. I think that's why as well it's important that you got Seth Trimble back, because he can be the sort of player that you build your perimeter defense around. He's just that dominant of a defender. From any of the three of you, any final basketball thoughts, any other points you wanted to get in before we talked about the whole season at large and did some storytelling for the viewers here?
Yeah, I could throw one in there. Adam actually did remind me of that moment in LA. Yeah, when it was RJ and Armando like walking out. It was also kind of crazy. If you guys, one of my favorite parts of March Madness every year, and it's at the very end, but like when they put the One Shining Moment videos out, like I've always actually just really been a fan of those videos. I just have. So RJ and Armando are like in the video together when it's like the all the years part, because they're obviously, I mean, one of the older tandems in college basketball, especially if you consider the fact that they've been teammates for 4 years. So it's like, you know, when that kind of showed, it was like, oh wow, like, you know, those dudes have really been, and we knew it throughout the whole season, like, you know, we've kept up with their careers and everything, but it's like, these guys put in a lot of years, you know, like, you know, on the same team, and it's kind of rare to have a you know, a duo like that. But yeah, I mean, the fact that that's somewhat continued, because it did kind of seem like when you looked at it, like if you saw it in real time, when they walked out, you know, to go to the press conference room, or matter of fact, this might have been after the press. This might have been like when they were like leaving. Yeah, this was like when they were leaving. It was kind of like, okay, UNC's like starting off, because RJ's like the last like Roy holdover as well. So it's like, okay, so that's kind of like fully like going into a new, but like Adam said, like, you know, he's going to try to give a encore, you know, type season. And so I'm very interested to see how that'll go with all the young guards there. Like, I'm very interested to see, like, you know, how his kind of a lot of the same stuff we were asking Armando last year about his fifth year and his experience, we're going to be asking RJ. So it's going to be an interesting year to cover for sure.
And just real quickly on that too, just, I guess we've gone back to LA. Is there a Biggie song going back to Cali, something like that? Dating myself again. But one of the things I have thought about, and Evan wrote about it when Seth Trimble got into the portal, is how upset Seth Trimble was that night. And with that, I'm pumped personally, selfishly, that Seth Trimble is coming back, because I really like the guy as a person. I really like talking to him as a reporter. He's super nice. Jeremiah and I tend to see his family a lot when we're traveling, see his dad and his mom in airports and stuff. And, you know, it just when you think about the way seasons end, or you think about triumphant moments like 2017, 2009, like you think about just the final game of a season, for whatever reason, the job that we do, those behind the curtain moments sort of stick with you. And, you know, I'll remember the joy of Isaiah Hicks and Joel Berry and Theo Pinson and Justin Jackson, those guys from 2017 forever. But I think if Seth Trimble had ended up in a different uniform, which you can't blame the guy, he wants to play, I would have always remembered what Evan wrote about, and that was how upset he was. He might have been the most visibly upset. He probably was, I think Jeremiah would agree, the most visibly upset UNC Tar Heel that night after the Alabama loss. I think RJ was in shock, as he said. But Seth was crying. I actually apologized to Seth for sticking my butt basically in his face to try to get to RJ, because they're the same lockers right side by side there in the locker room. And he had some interesting comments that night too, that again, that Evan has written about, we've written about. But you know, that was one of the ones that sticks out. So, you know, I think it's great from our point of view to have him coming back to be able to cover him. I think for Hubert Davis's use, he has a whole lot of versatile options in that backcourt now. So I just want to throw that in about Seth Trimble real quick.
I love it. You referenced going back to Los Angeles for the final On the Beat Live of the 2023-24 season. We want to do some looking back as well. So after the break, we're all four going to share our favorite quote, moment, or anecdote from the year on the beat that was. So I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that, panelists. In the meantime, before the ad break, this is an excellent question from George Jenkins. And George, I appreciate this question. It says, best arena food on the road and worst arena food you had this year. So this is a question for Adam, but we're actually going to start with Evan, because this was your first time, you know, getting on the road a little bit, maybe traveling a little bit. You know, maybe if you can't pick out your best or worst, that's okay. But any reflections from traveling and some of the food that you received on the beat?
It's a great question, by the way. Excellent question, George. You've done it again.
Is, when we say arena food, are we referring to the media meal?
Yes.
Okay. The worst one, I know exactly what it is, and it might get me in trouble, and that's okay. And it's actually not from the road, and it is fourth quarter pizza for UNC football. I just, especially, and I'm gonna qualify this with a lot of UNC games this year, because Drake May was quarterback, were at night. They had a lot of 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 8 p.m. kickoffs. Mm-hmm. And by the time fourth quarter pizza came around, it's maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. I had already eaten before the game itself. Sometimes, a lot of the times, honestly, me, Adam, and Jeremiah didn't even go to get the fourth quarter pizza. We would get the pizza after we did the press conferences that night. And we probably ate, I don't even want to know how much pizza after 1:30 in the morning that season. I mean, there was a good bit of pizza consumed at a gross hour to be consuming it. So that no doubt is my least. My favorite. Oh man, this is tough.
I'm looking at the schedule right now to try.
Yeah,
to
me too. Yeah.
I mean, we ate at Madison Square Garden. You're like, you know.
See, I'm trying to think, because I went to Atlanta. The Georgia Tech food was fine. Charlottesville was fine.
Did they have Mission Barbecue at all season for basketball?
Yeah, I didn't want to go at home again, because that'd be kind of cheating. Mission was really good. I'm trying to think if we went anywhere else.
You could include brunch in Atlanta with the Jim Hawkins.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, brunch at brunch at with Jim's family, our photographer, was fun and really good. Also, the Italian restaurant we went to the night before, I can't remember the name of it. That place was really, really good. I see Adam's agreeing with me there. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, man. But yeah, the Atlanta trip had some really good food. And yeah, Mission Barbecue, which for those who don't know, that UNC basketball rolls out the red carpet once every year. Usually it's for the Duke game. This year it wasn't the Duke game, and everyone thought it wasn't coming. And then it actually showed up for senior night, where they've got barbecue, smoked sausage, banana pudding, mac and cheese, coleslaw, pretty much everything, you name it. And that was really good because I hadn't eaten the media meal in probably 3 or 4 weeks by that point because I was trying to lay off the junk food, the fast food. So that was fun. But yeah, a lot of good food. I'm sure Adam and Jeremiah are going to have a lot better spots than I did.
What about for you, Jeremiah?
Yeah, we're going to have to work it out with Mr. Sharp. Mr. Jeremy Sharp, get a microwave in the Kenan press box, man. You know, see if we can get that going. Maybe I can sneak one in. Maybe I'll just clear it beforehand, bring one in there, and just let everybody use it.
My phone's going to be lighting up over here, guys. Good
Lord. Oh, man. Shout out to U.S. football, man. The best one, and I did have to kind of flip through, the best one, I actually liked the bowl game in Charlotte, that food, because I remember that kind of being barbecue, cornbread. Like, that was a good layout. So I liked that one. I kind of remember Charlottesville being pretty good. I don't know if it's, like, up there, but, like, for some reason, maybe that's one of the more recent trips we did, so maybe that's why I'm thinking about it. I don't really know. One of the more, I guess, kind of disappointing ones, I won't say the worst one. I don't know the worst one. And it wasn't even, like, a media-made, like a made media meal, so it's not really a knock. I did a women's basketball game at Wake Forest out in Winston-Salem, and that was one of those, like, meal voucher type deals. And so, but like, you know, sometimes those are limited. So it's just like, you know, the, you know, tenders, like the fried chicken tenders and things like that. So usually like, you know, if I'm doing a game or something like that, like I do kind of like to, you know, not have to do the fried food as much, I guess. But, you know, I won't say the word. I mean, it's just like, it's, you know, it's regular food. I'm not like super picky, you know, as a eater, just like in general. So, you know, didn't mind it, but I guess if I had to say one, I was gonna not even answer that part of it, but if I have to say one, I'll say that one as a.
What is it with the right side of this screen wanting to be healthy? There's no point in trying to be healthy with the, you know, there's no way to spin a 1 a.m. slice of pizza. It's not gonna be healthy. It's okay. You just gotta own it. Adam, what about for you? Any food related reflections from the season that was?
Man, I could go down. You know, I got the dang schedule. I could go down and give you a food related reflection on every damn game. Highs and lows. I don't know why we didn't go there for football this year, but I started thinking about basketball at BC. But I was going to say, like, it's a tough call. COVID, it's understatement of the century. COVID has changed a lot of things. And we sound so pampered. One of the things that took a hit in a lot of places was the meal that they would provide for you. We were very pampered. Evan's already gotten there with his, the fourth quarter pizza. but I will say that at Boston College for football, now I don't know if it will still be this way, but pre-pandemic, they used to serve like the authentic clam chowder, like, and New England clam chowder, and that stuff was fantastic. I mean, just not, you know, you might get a lot of hot dogs or hamburgers at different spots, but BC football was fantastic. I was trying to think like all the different things. You know, we ate in Charlotte a lot this year. Mm-hmm. Me and Jeremiah did, Evan did. You know, I'm looking at the different places. I mean, not to pander to the crowd, but you know, the meals at Duke usually aren't the greatest. You just get like a voucher. And they just turn you loose on the concession stand. I will say also, I don't know why I have BC on the brain. At Boston College this year in basketball, it's snowing like crazy up there too. That was the night I sat beside Bob Ryan. I won't talk about that forever like I did the one time. But somehow Jim Hawkins and I, our photographer, ended up with these vouchers that the other media members didn't have. And this is BC basketball. And we went to the concession stands to get like food from it. And like the lady was like, my lady was like confused by it. And I'm not joking. These, the accents, I mean, who am I to talk about an accent? But the accents were so thick. And it's like, I'm not sure what kind of voucher you got here. This looks like a combo meal voucher you got here. This is not a, not a regular media voucher you have here. You know, and she's like trying to check in the back. Like, he's got a combo voucher. He's got a family voucher. So this is no lie. I left that damn thing with four hot dogs and like, you know, a, like 32 ounce. I mean, I had like a meal for a family. He's got a combo voucher here. And I'm like, I don't know. This is what they gave me, you know, which is wild at the Conti Forum anyway, because, you know, the place is more famous for ice hockey than it is basketball. You're walking past. I go through my phone all the time looking for various things. You're walking past. Yeah, that's right. Adam Sandler, the lunch lady. You know, you're like walking around there and you see like, you know, women's downhill skiing locker room. You know, you're trying to find basketball locker room. There's a skiing locker room. But yeah, I mean, I'm off the rails here. You know, Florida State doesn't have bad media meals. They serve it in bulk. But we had a lot of places. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of great meals out. Jeremiah and I had an excellent meal after the Clemson basketball game. Downtown Clemson, some tacos and whatnot.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, we obviously went to New York City. We had some good meals in the Bahamas. They were great. I'm not really answering the question, but that's what I've got.
I was also trying to figure out that accent. Adam Sandler's not a bad. It was like a Southern Boston. It was wonderful. Adam is what it was. It was an excellent. I love it. I appreciate the extra effort that went into the storytelling there.
I appreciate that lady too. I confused the heck out of her and I didn't mean to. Four hot dogs. I won't say if I ate them all or not. I did eat them all.
Shout out to the hardworking members of the concession stands. How about a shout out to Coach Melvin, who guards the food at the Smith Center? Yes, my old Little League coach works down there in the Smith Center. So shout out to Coach Melvin as well. We're going to take a quick second and talk about Johnny T-Shirt, the sponsor of this podcast and the sponsor of all of Inside Carolina's podcasts. It's the number one place to go if you're in the market for UNC gear. It's getting a little bit hotter. It's the summer. If you want to get some new UNC gear for a summer vacation, I always love those pictures or, you know, when you're on your travels, some faraway place and you see someone else wearing a UNC shirt. It's always a cool moment and a great way to strike up a conversation. Get a new UNC shirt for your summer vacations or for whatever you need. Maybe a graduation present. I know graduation is coming up as well. If you do any of those gift shopping, do it at Johnny T-Shirt. They have a store on Franklin Street. You can check them out online as well. Inside Carolina premium subscribers get a 10% discount as well. So be sure to use that. We appreciate Johnny T-Shirt for supporting us, and we ask that you show them some love as well. We're going to take a quick second, let the national guys pay the bills, as Tommy Ashley always says. Shout out to Tommy. We'll be back in just a second with more from the year that was. This is On the Beat Live.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back. I am producer John. I'm here with Evan. I'm here with Jeremiah. I'm here with Adam Smith. on a Thursday night in May, and we have 171 people watching us live on YouTube. So shout out to everyone who is watching us live here on YouTube, or if you're listening on the podcast stream, shout out to you as well. We're going to take a little bit of time here and do some more storytelling from the year that was. Feels like it's been a long season. A lot has happened since the first football game in Charlotte against South Carolina. That feels like ages ago. I mean, you know, what was it, 9 sacks in that game? That just feels like so long ago. Yeah, so we're each going to tell a story from the season that was. It can be a quote, it can be a moment, it can be an anecdote. We'll go around the horn here. As Evan and Adam think about it, Jeremiah, you're on the hot seat. I'm starting with you. What comes to mind?
Yeah, I think the thing for me is that I couldn't escape South Carolina no matter what I did. You know, I mean, talk about how, I mean, you mentioned that first football game that was against South Carolina. And then the women's team came up to Chapel Hill. So obviously, you know, I was at that one. I guess I'll do this one because we didn't do a lot of we didn't really do on the beat when we were doing the tournament. So like, Selection Sunday, because they do like the men's and the women's like on the same day. The men's would have been first in my memory. Yeah, the men's would have been first or whatever. So obviously they get the draw in Charlotte. So, but we, you know, pretty much figured that the women's ones, you know, sometimes like, you know, to me, they're not, some of those projections aren't as much of a sure thing. You know, they're not as, you know, aligned as some people, you know, probably think, you know, so I'm not really thinking about necessarily where, you know, the women are going to end up playing. Cause obviously, you know, the way we kind of do it is, you know, we kind of do squad up for, you know, that men's one. And then, you know, I kind of do what I do for, you know, some of the women's coverage, like, you know, however I can do it. So it ends up getting lined up that the women have to go to South Carolina, play the undefeated Gamecocks in Columbia, because for those who, I'm sure most people know, but in the women's game, if you were a top 4 seed in whatever region, you actually get to host. So like, unlike North Carolina that has to go to a neutral site as a 1 seed, you actually get to host the actual game. Like you get to host, and not only that, you play your game, but then like that whole like side of it, that it would be like basically if Michigan State and Mississippi State, if they played in Chapel Hill, like that's basically like what it would be. So Columbia is only a 90-minute drive from Charlotte. I've actually made that drive plenty of times, you know, my first year, my only year at the South Carolina paper. So, you know, it's kind of a drive that I was used to. So when I saw it, not only was it, you know, pretty much, you know, right there, like 90 minutes, the days aligned and everything, like it was crazy. So, you know, I was kind of looking at it and I was kind of, you know, thinking about it, you know, for a little bit. I actually had some South Carolina people hitting me up like, yo, are you going to come cover this game if UNC's there? Well, they were obviously they played Michigan State, but I stayed. I didn't go to the first game because I was doing some locker room stuff, you know, for the men's tournament. So, yeah. So but anyway, you know, we do the men's tournament, you know, the crew that we had, you know, down there to do that. UNC kind of figured things out against Michigan State. And funny enough, the women's team played Michigan State too, because that was the 8-9 game. So the men's team figured things out against Michigan State. And then that next day, you know, I went back down there. You know, when I left Columbia, like when I moved out, like wasn't really sure when I would go back, when I returned, what kind of occasion I would have to really do that. I do like the city of Columbia, and I, you know, definitely met some people down there, you know, that I still know. So like, didn't really know, like, but you know, I think it was kind of, and I think the reason I picked this story too is because like for me was a little bit of like a full circle, maybe even like a closed chapter kind of moment, because it's like, okay, like, you know, I don't know, it's something about it. It was something about it, like, you know, doing that first year, like that was, because that was obviously like my first job, like, you know, out of school. So, you know, kind of returning there like one last time, seeing some of those same people, like, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, so then, yeah, I mean, the grind kind of continued. We went from there, or I went from there, and then, you know, kind of came back here, had like a day to pack. That was a crazy day. I literally had like a day to just like pack, get stuff together. And then we ended up, me and Adam and Jim, going to LA. But yeah, so that would definitely be my story, just kind of a, you know, it's just funny how life works like that, you know, but yeah, that's what I'll say.
And shout out to Coach Staley as well. I believe, Jeremiah, correct me if I'm wrong, she spent a lot of time talking about the importance of local media and, you know, the connections that she develops with the reporters on the beat.
For sure. She's very big on that. You know, kind of even when I was, you know, down there as well, like, you know, definitely, you know, kind of looked out for us and stuff. And then Diana Koval, who's the SID down there, definitely, like, you know, looked out for, you know, local media, like if you travel to a game. Yeah, but they definitely, you know, do have a, you know, that's a pretty big value system. I did actually, there was an article, I don't even remember, was it Front Office Sports that wrote it? It was somebody that wrote it. Yeah, so I ended up reading through there. I actually recognized, obviously, some of the media people that spoke in that article. So, you know, yeah, I did not get to talk to Dawn that day, by the way, because UNC's locker room opened like right before she went up there or something like that. So I talked to her when she was in Chapel Hill, but I didn't get to talk to her when she was in when I went down to Columbia, though.
It's worth mentioning, just because this is On the Beat Live, that makes a huge difference when you have that support from the head coach, you know, for the working media. Evan, we're coming to you next, your first year with Inside Carolina, just like Jeremiah's. What stood out to you, quote, moment, anecdote from the beat this year?
Yeah, there were a lot of good ones from all the returning of the rental car in Atlanta, which Adam, I'm sure, remembers. I kind of dove into that a couple podcasts earlier during the football season, but I'm going to do a little basketball moment that popped up into my head. It's not the most in-depth or anything, but I want to take everyone back to the first half of the UNC-Tennessee game, because I remember that game because it was really one of UNC's first big tests, and Tennessee coming into that night was actually the number one adjusted defense on KenPom. And that's all everyone was talking about, the number one defense on KenPom. And I remember Adam, Jeremiah, and I just watching Harrison Ingram hit threes and Elliot Cadeau dish out full court assists, and just the offense is just clicking, and they're nearing and eventually get to over 60 points. And as soon as they kind of got up toward the 50s, low 50s, I start going through every season on Tennessee's website and just clicking through every single box score of every game, because I'm just thinking in my head, you know, Rick Barnes has been at Tennessee forever. I can't imagine they've allowed 60 points a lot in the first half. And I think we eventually came up to the point of it was the highest or the most points allowed by Tennessee since the game in, I think, 2012. And it was the most points and a half in general since, I think, 2006. It was the first time they'd allowed over 60 points since, I think, the second half against Auburn in one of those games. But even more so than that, just the game in general is kind of crazy, because in the second half, you had Tennessee make that push back. Dalton Kinect scores 37 points. He sprains his ankle, and I think he misses the last 2 or 3 minutes. And when Dalton Kinect is going on this run, everyone's talking about him breaking the Smith Center scoring record, which RJ Davis went on to break later in the year by scoring 42 points. But who knows how many points Dalton Kinect scores if he doesn't get hurt with, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to go in that game. And then just at the end with the press conferences, I mean, Armando, you could write an entire book about all the quotes he had, you know, through his career. But that night, I think it was the funniest thing was, what did he say, Adam? He's like, "We almost had necked," or what? He totally butchered his name. And
he called him necked. He stopped what he was saying at one point and said, "And we almost had neck too. Think about how scary that would have been." I was like,
"Yeah,
oh,
neck." And I mean, of course, I guess that's an Armando thing to say now, because for those of you who are on Twitter, after Anthony Harris had the huge game to close out the Suns the other night, Armando tweeted out, "We almost had ant," or something like that, something along those lines. And then I think someone might have quoted Armando to give them their all almost had him team for UNC. And it was a great list that he came up with. I think he included LeBron on that list, obviously. So maybe down Armando might be the lead recruiter for UNC basketball one day later down the road, once he's done with his playing days, and that could be pretty good. But just that Tennessee game in general, because I think that one, when you look back on the season as a whole, that's where you kind of saw the signs that UNC could be a pretty, you know, consistent top 10 team. Because at the end of the day, I know the finish was disappointing for being a one seed and getting knocked out in the fashion that they did. But at the end of the day, UNC was the preseason number 19 team. I mean, they outperformed their preseason expectations by a lot. And for the most part, were pretty much in the top 10 from that point on. And just all the little tidbits in that game. I mean, Elliott Cadeau had 10 assists and I think zero turnovers that game. And that was during a stretch where Cadeau had just 25, 26 assists to like four or five turnovers over a five-game stretch. But that game was definitely one that you look back on and you kind of see this kind of hinted at what the year was going to kind of be. And there's also just some fun little tidbits like the Armando quote and obviously Don Connect going off.
I love it. That was a exciting, important game for the season. Perhaps also kind of washed away some of the stuff from the previous season, which we've talked about it at length. That win was really a statement win for the program for UNC. Great answer, Evan. Adam, you are up third here. Do you have a quote, moment, or anecdote from the season that was on the beat?
I have way too many to choose from. Although I have come up with a moment or two to share, but it was kind of funny as I'm looking over here at the roll call of the games, the schedule of the games. Actually, well, I'm all over the place. Wanted to answer my guy, George Jenkins. Everything George says, I just react to. You know, he's like, it's just, you know, Pavlov's dog situation here. But yes, George, yes, to answer your question about the impact of sports betting. And for whatever reason, I am reminded of, we walked into the arena in D.C., the ACC tournament, UNC's opener. We had been there for a day or two, and, you know, like, this wasn't our first time there, but we're walking in to, like, sort of get ready to cover the UNC-FSU, quarterfinal game. And one of our colleagues, one of our friends, friend of the show, who we're not going to mention his or her or their name, but they told me, just as I was goofing off and setting up stuff, he said, look, I'm going to need the Tar Heels to win by 10 today. So yes, not only was the fan stuff was evident, the groans, the reactions, like, I mean, really, I think Evan could probably tell us something, you know, from his personal life, that nearly made him, in a better financial situation. But that person said, yeah, I'm going to need the Tar Heels by 10 today. And I think, you know, they blew FSU out. I think they won by 25 or whatever. But yes, George, to answer your question. But yeah, I was going down the list of the games here. It's just wild, the things that you think about in terms of like the behind the scenes moments that we love to talk about. Like, if you just think about it, like the Bahamas, Jalen Withers happening to say to me that he's up 5 at the casino. And when I never could quite nail down what amount of measurement 5 was. You know, it was a hell of a revelation from a guy who was like 3 or 4 games into his UNC career. So I was asking him if he was going to all the water slides down there in Nassau. And he's like, nah, I've been at the crabs table. Well, how are you doing? We up 5. Oh, okay. But yeah, so I was thinking about Withers at Nassau. I was thinking about, I'm just going down. Like, so I've gone from November to December, January 2nd. How about Harrison Ingram going 2 for 14, I think, is if I've got it right. 2 for 14 at Pittsburgh. What was he doing when we talked to him in the locker room? Laughing his tail off about how terrible he shot, but they still won the game. I mean, that was like one of those moments where you're like, yeah, Harrison Ingram's kind of a different guy. He's not sulking. He's not like, don't come around me. He happened to hit 2 huge shots in the last 5 minutes of that game, I feel like. But, you know, someone said to him, like, did you see your line? And he just busted out laughing at how bad his stat line was. The next game at Clemson, Paxson Wojcik, go ahead 3-pointer. He happens to tell us, you know, oh, by the way, yeah, I've still got 10 staples in my head from, what was it, the Charleston Southern game, I think. He had the stitches from, my forehead is way bigger than his. He had the stitches from before the season opener, like the pregame shoot around. Then he got staples in his head. He had like 10 stitches and 7 staples, or vice versa on that. How about Ingram? A couple nights later, taking out one of the richest men in North Carolina at NC State when he went tumbling over into the front row. And then he asked me later that night, like, who was that? And I was like, his name's Wendell Murphy. His name's on every building around here, dude. Like, I mean, anyway. But yeah, like, I'm just like, I was looking at all these. And I'm like, good gosh, I could just, you know, there was one day I was at UVA where Cormack was just sort of allowing himself to relish the fact. I think he hit 6 threes that day and that he had shushed them. But I was asking Cormack in Charlotte during the NCAA tournament about the little sort of the black eye that he had, where he'd gotten that from. And he said he'd gotten that from Michael O'Connell, NC State, maybe a shoulder to the face in the ACC championship game, the tournament championship game. And I happened to say to Cormack, yeah, I thought you might have embellished that a little bit, which I wasn't trying to like call him out, but I thought it happened right in front of Jeremiah and I. And I thought he was like basically trying to get maybe it might have been the 5th foul on O'Connell. And so Cormack sort of took offense to that and was like, you know, no, I was not embellishing it. And at some point he goes, have you ever had a black eye? He says to me. And I was like, yes, I have. And then he goes, do you want another one? So I was like, no, I don't want another one, Cormack. But anyway, to wrap it up, to wrap up my rambling, unfortunately, everything I go back to is L.A. because it's the last time that something happened. But here's a moment that I haven't shared. It's not a Bob Bryan tribute, like someone was saying in the comments. I could do it again. But so the day before UNC ultimately loses to Alabama, and which was also the day before Clemson ultimately beats Arizona. Those were the 4 teams out there, obviously the West Regional. We are there. We are doing our normal, like, try to cover the heck out of what's happening. Evan has gotten his preview in. Jeremiah's videoing practice. I mean, we're trying to do everything we can. So I am going from the media room there where you can set up and just work at your laptop and everything to the court, because UNC is starting to get going with their practice out there. And so I'm walking, I'm looking at my phone because I think Michelle was slacking me something. And so I happen to be just walking through a little hallway from the media room to the court. And I hear someone say, oh, I knew it. And I didn't realize what that was. And then this someone tapped me on the shoulder. And so I turned around. It was Caleb Love. And I could not believe it. And he was saying, oh, I knew it about my dumb ass. and so Caleb Love and I had a moment there in the hallway that honestly about brought me to tears. And we had a hug, and he's asking me if I voted him for All-American. And I was like, I didn't have a vote, Caleb. You know, like, I mean, like, just imagine this scene. So we talked for just probably 30 or 45 seconds. It was very quick, but it felt like a long time. And I told him I was happy for his success. Little did we know that he was going to go 0-for-9 from 3 the very next night, and RJ was going to go 0-for-9 from 3 the very next night. That was an amazing one, honestly, the Caleb thing. Couldn't believe it. So I don't know if I have a way to finish it. I was thinking I might have had another good anecdote. Oh, I know what it was. Also, that media room, unfortunately, I was shutting it down one night, and I got to talking to one of the workers there, and this dude looked like he had seen some things. And he said that he had worked there at the arena forever, and he was started telling us about working the Oscars. It was just super interesting. Like, he had seen everything, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to surprise him. And he said that they had just had the Oscars there, at that arena. And he said that it was a real kind of like just circus because it rained that day in LA, which I didn't know. But he said, you got to think about it. You got, like, you know, $10,000 haircuts, like that people were trying not to get messed up. And he was doing his hands and like motioning about how all these assistants were trying to keep people's dresses and gowns covered. And, you know, like, I just, that was a heck of a line. You got $10,000 haircuts, which I was like, yeah, I guess a little bit more than I spend on mine. But that was kind of a neat little moment too, because he was asking me about UNC. You know, he's like, tell me about Tar Heels. And like, now he starts talking about the Oscars. I'm like, good Lord, dude. You know, he sees Jack Nicholson all the time. It's nothing to him. So anyway, those are some of mine.
I love it. The three of you gave some great stories. The three of you also did not talk very much about football, which is great because my story is football related. I was holding my breath to see if anybody was going to steal mine. It's Drake May related. Obviously, Drake May has been in the news. He was the third pick in the draft to the Patriots. And my story is about Drake really walking off the field in that UNC Duke game. I wasn't on the beat a lot this season, but that was one of the games that I was covering. And I, you know, had the opportunity to be on the field during the field storm, sort of follow the victory bell with my camera. Quite the moment there, trying to navigate the crowds and things like that. When I think about this past year, that's certainly a moment that sticks out to me. But then also Drake May getting the chance of, you know, one more year, which I think even at that time, everyone kind of understood that, you know, this was probably Drake's last game in Keenan Stadium. And the press conference afterwards, him talking about the emotion, he really didn't get into it very much because that's not necessarily, you know, Drake's MO, especially in those press conference settings to, you know, empty his chest in terms of all the emotions that he felt. But, you know, the more I reflected on it, you know, this is, you know, one of the things Drake does say over and over again. He says, I'm a Carolina kid. He talks about, I grew up a Carolina fan, you know, the family connections that we all know. And the opportunity that he had in that last game to walk off this the Keenan Stadium field, you know, with the field rushed, everyone chanting his name, for a Carolina kid, that must have been such a cool moment. And I was thinking about it in the press conference as well. I couldn't find the right way to craft this question. So that's obviously why I didn't say it. And it's also less of a question and more of a statement. But, you know, Drake was committed to Alabama. He had to understand, there had to be a piece of him that understood that when he switched from going to Alabama to picking UNC, there were going to be some sacrifices from a team goals perspective. That's one of the things that came up, you know, over the draft process. You know, if Drake had gone to Alabama, Alabama would have won the national championship, all those different types of things. And Drake did not have a national championship moment at UNC as a football player. They won the Coastal Division title. They, you know, had some, certainly some big games, but the Carolina kid had his Carolina moment walking off the field to beat Duke, the crowd chanting his name. So I thought that was a very cool moment for the UNC quarterback, and now he's off to bigger and better things in the NFL. So that's my moment to close. We are pulling up on 9:57 here on the East Coast. We are running up on time. So I'm just going to take a quick second to give a few shout outs, and I'm going to let the panel do the same. This is the last On the Beat of the year. So I want to give a shout out to some of the behind the scenes people. Shout out to John Siegley. He does all of the audio and the podcast stuff for these shows and all of Inside Carolina shows. So shout out to John. You do an awesome job behind the scenes for us. Shout out to Michelle. She does so much behind the scenes for the team. Shout out to Tommy Ashley. He's not here tonight, but he helps out, and he's been on this show many times, of course, but he does so much behind the scenes as well. Shout out to Ben. Shout out to the rest of the Inside Carolina team. For a great season, helping the four of us on the screen, and really the three of you on the screen as you completed all of your beat duties this year. I'll open up for the panel. Final thoughts, any shout outs you want to give here on the last show of the year? Evan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Great first year hanging out with Adam and Jeremiah on the beat. I've learned a ton. I know, who was it, Martha earlier asking me if I was going to stick around after graduation. Unfortunately, I am a junior, so you got one more year with me. I will be back for my senior year, but you know, thank
you. We got to figure out a way to make Evan a super senior. I mean, we got to get Apple right now. We got to get some sort of GoFundMe, NIL, something. I mean, let's keep this three. You know, it's a three man weave here. You know, you used to play in the 3-on-3 tournaments back in the day, or at least my old butt did. You know, like. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, Evan. Well, you know, we gotta get a fifth year.
Well, if we're a 3-man team, I'm just hanging out in the corner, letting Adam and Jeremiah do all the work. But no, seriously, thank you to you guys. Obviously, Ben does a lot of help and work behind the scenes. John and Tommy for hosting the podcast, letting me hop on. It's been a lot of fun. Also, shout out to Tommy and Grace for the baseball coverage they're doing right now. Maybe planning a trip for Omaha in the near future, I've heard. And then also shout out to Jalen, the other intern. He's a video intern. He's a year older than me. Just got a big announcement to what he's doing in his future plans. I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let him, you know, announce that when he's ready. But he's doing some great and big things. And just looking forward to what next year has and just excited to keep growing.
Love it. Appreciate those shouts to Ben and Jalen, of course, as well. Shout out to Hawkins, our photog, loyal photog too. Jeremiah, what about
I have
you?
I have to shout out Jim. If I don't shout out Jim, he might be texting me in an hour. So shout out to Jim. He drives most of the places. He is the most knowledgeable man I know. He has been great to work as well with. All right, Jeremiah.
Yeah, man. I guess by name, you know, pretty much everybody's been, you know, shouted out. I'll try to, you know, make sure I kind of get everybody. Well, first of all, I mean, yeah, just I have a shout out to, you know, Ben, Buck, and everybody. You know, this being my first year at IC, obviously, like I said before, like, yeah, I had a year of experience, you know, at college before, but then, you know, kind of coming here, you know, IC is definitely a different beast for sure. So, you know, appreciate them, you know, kind of give me that opportunity to, you know, come back home a little bit and, you know, continue to learn. So, grateful for that. Certainly shout out to Adam and Jim. You know, I was in a lot of cities with Adam and Jim, you know, kind of being around those guys, working with those guys and getting to know them, honestly, just, you know, as people. So, you know, I thought that was cool, man. Appreciated that. Like, the work's going to be what it is. But, you know, like, definitely got to know them. So, you know, shout out to them. Shout out to both Evan and Jalen. You know, proud of those two. Excited to see what they do. Obviously, I'm glad Evan's coming back. You know, happy for Jalen, you know what I'm saying, for you know, everything he's about to do. You know, nothing he does really surprises me because I kind of, you know, seen it. So, yeah, shout out to him. Let me see. Obviously, John Bowman. And John Bowman, who's here with us right now. We got Tommy Ashley as well. And then Joey Powell for, you know, the football pre-games. So shout out to those guys. You know, good to get out here. It sound like I, you know, watch the games a little bit, you know, so that's always fun. Let me see. Big shout out to Michelle. Great behind the scenes. You know, you guys don't really, you know, see Michelle, see all the, everything she does. Well, you do see it, but you don't really realize it's her. So shout out to Michelle. Let me see. Shout out to Trish as well. You know, Trish Sanders got to get a shout out too. Definitely got to get a shout out. Let's see. Sherelle and Don, you know, holding it down on the recruiting. So we got to give shout outs to them. I'm really trying to get everybody. I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to make sure we cover our bases. Let's go Sean Moran and Jason Staples. They got to get shout outs. You know what I mean? So, man, who am I missing? I think that's everybody.
I don't know that you missed anybody.
I don't know. But shout out to everybody that I see.
Steve Kirshner, Jeremy Sharp.
For real, yeah. Like
Paul Cunningham.
I realized too, we had a comment earlier in the show. Shout out to people who don't use the term shout out. Well, I'm sorry. We had to do it. Halfway decent, we let you down. Adam, you get the final word.
Shout out to my dad, you know. Brothers at home, you know, shout out to everybody.
Right. Adam, you get the final word here. Closing thoughts. You can take us out in this final show of the year.
Oh man. It's like signing the yearbook, isn't it? You know, what raised hell this summer? Do people still say that? I'm really dating myself on that one. Yeah. I mean, heck, my kids are getting their yearbooks. You know, geez Louise. But yes, I could not concur more with the shout outs. John, I thought that was a very nice Drake May anecdote you gave. It's so funny how, like, what have we been doing this for the last 8 or 9 months? There's so much stuff that freaking happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Drake May's last game at UNC is something to remember. But good Lord, think about all the stuff that's happened between now and then. Mac was crying that night, so everyone thought Mac was retiring. Heck, we wrote a story about it. Yeah, we did. But yeah, shout out to everyone from Buck and Ben, you know, the top all the way down. And I think, we couldn't do this without, Tommy Ashley's leadership, this show, without John's willingness to wear a whole lot of different hats. I mean, he's getting, you know, outlines of shows ready about what we're going to talk about while we're just off walking the dog and mowing the yard. I mean, you know, these guys put all the effort in. We show up, put on a headset, and just run our mouths, which I'm extremely thankful everyone likes listening to. I wanted to shout out the audience. Mm-hmm. I love you guys. I used to pick on Ross constantly because Ross, well, yeah, I had to have some ammunition because I was getting it at all times from Ross, you know, no matter it's 6 a.m. or, you know, midnight. But Ross, there was nothing Ross loved more than us to be walking into a basketball arena or a football stadium and someone in a parking lot or somewhere going into the place saw us and said, "Hey, Ross and Adam." He loved it. And it was always someone from probably these shows, you know. So, and with that said, we got to shout out Jeremiah and Evan. I mean, this was their first year with us. You know, these guys are young dudes, and they are coming fast. Like Jordan Shipp and Chris Culliver in the wide receiver room at UNC football, these guys are making things happen, and they've got great careers ahead of them. But, yeah, I mean, this we've kind of had I haven't felt this way, but we've kind of had sort of a new team together this school year. And I'm very appreciative of them, all their hard work. I'm very appreciative of them for putting up with me. And it's been great. I think we got a lot of great things ahead of ourselves. You know, I have to mention, even though have we ever had him on, Jim Hawkins, IC legendary photographer. I would hear about it if I didn't say anything about it. The man is my hero and mentor. I love him dearly. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but you know, he may be putting together a book, about his career. So if we can get the thing started and then get it to the finish line, so maybe look for that in 3 or 4 years. But you know, he's the best. He leads Jeremiah everywhere we go. You know, he knows the best places to go in every city. He's always in communication with Pam, the travel agent, and we're lucky to have him. We're lucky to have the amount of wisdom, you know, taking us places like that and mixing in the occasional Dean Smith story that Jim has. Or, you know, it's amazing the knowledge the man has running around his head. But just thanks to everyone. Appreciate everybody tuning in with us. It will be August before we know it. It really will. And George Bob would never be pissed. I got his number. So there. But thanks to everybody. I've had a great time and I look forward to, and as Evan said, hey, we're going to have some more good, I think, UNC baseball coverage. We're going to ramp that up a little bit here in May and June. And who knows how long that season go. You never know. We might have to do a special on the beat for an Omaha edition. We'll have to see about that. But thanks to everyone. And, you know, when you see us around town, holler. Always good to see everyone. And appreciate everyone's support.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.